Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 37, July 15th, 2010. Numero 37.
Yes, sir.
We'll catch up to my age here pretty soon. But so we're smack dab in the middle of July. It's the dog days of summer, is that it?
It's not so bad.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The heat's a little oppressive. But hey, there's no leaking in any of the social fronts, as far as I know, with regard to the weather. Unless, of course, Intuit's having a problem today. Wednesday seemed to be a bad day for Intuit, and they're the company that that we love the folks that work there, really. But QuickBooks Online, this is software in the cloud, and their servers are down again. And there's a lot of companies that like to run payroll. They have to do their direct deposit type stuff. They have to transmit that on Wednesdays so that people can get their checks on Fridays. We're not one of them. But those people are really up a creek. And so this, what this lends itself to, and this is going on right now as we're recording this, it took them about 30 minutes to post something on Twitter, recognizing that they have a problem. But already many, many people on Twitter have already been shouting out about, hey, are you guys down again? What's up? You know, this kind of thing. But it takes them half an hour to respond. And this is a problem. This kind of shines a light on why companies, you know, organizations need to have this emergency broadcast system mm-hmm. in place so that you're not scrambling around trying to figure out what you're going to do when it hits the fan.
Well, we had an issue not too long ago with our phones being down for a little bit, and we tweeted it out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so, okay, if it's your phones or if it's your power, you know, you need to be able to have somebody there who can do this, either take a notebook computer and run down to your nearest Wi-Fi hotspot, hopefully not Starbucks, but it'll do, you know, or get on their cell phone and let the world know, hey, we know we have a problem. And it may not always be the problem of that particular company, as was the case with us. It was not our problem. It was the phone company who went down, and therefore people could not reach us. So anyway, it's a tough thing to do when you're in facing that situation. This kind of goes back to a lot of different things where you drill, you know, you set emergency systems up, you practice using them, make sure they're in place. This is why Saturdays at noon, the tornado sirens go off in town. You want to make sure your systems are up and running. It is the exact same thing, you know, and no doubt there are people right now looking to jump the Intuit ship and find some other alternatives out there because they can't get their accounting done. It's that mundane, boring thing going on in the company, but when it doesn't work, so many things stop. So there, you know, just that news that's out there. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. So anyway, on that note, what we're talking about is if you know that your clients, your customers are out there using Twitter, using Facebook, and you have fans and you have followers, you should set up a system that you can let these folks know about these urgencies, you know. I've kind of been using that word urgencies instead of emergencies, you know, I kind of reserve that for, you know, I don't know, life and limb kind of thing. Yeah. But urgencies, as far as letting folks know what's going on, they really appreciate it. And if something's down, people want to know, hey, when maybe is it going to be back up? Is it going to be a couple of minutes or is it going to be hours? You know, do I need to go do something else or can I just sit here and wait? Anyway, not a rant necessarily. I mean, it's really good advice. In fact, it's advice that we're including in our Luniversity class that we're having this quarter with our clients to get them in here and talk about what's going on. This emergency broadcast system is one of those things.
It was kind of a little rant, though.
Was it a little rant?
I didn't speak for maybe 2 minutes.
Oh wait, so is a monologue?
It was a monologue.
Is it a monologue?
Is a monologue
a rant? Okay.
And you dissed Starbucks in the middle of it.
Oh.
And I can't abide by that.
Well, you know, as a small business here in Memphis, Tennessee, we like to look out for our fellow local small businesses, including those coffee shops that are owned and operated by local folks versus, you know, Starbucks. But I did read earlier today that they are approaching 10 million Facebook fans or likers, and they're the first company that's going to have the 10 million. Yeah.
I mean, for being such a big chain, the people that work in those stores are so often just very friendly and very personable.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You want to support them. Like, these guys up here at the White Station Starbucks, I mean, they are so nice to me. I would feel bad about going to a different Starbucks.
Yeah. Oh, a different Starbucks.
Like, even.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's my Starbucks.
You'd be cheating on them.
That's my Starbucks.
These nice people. Well, okay. That's a different kind of rant. But, okay.
I'm going to get off the Starbucks rant and actually talk about social media here for a minute. So, interesting story that I heard the other day about someone whose debt collectors found them on Facebook. They had some college loans, and they'd managed to evade their debt collectors, their phone calls and the emails. They'd managed to fall off the radar.
Yeah.
And then debt collectors found them through Facebook. And it brings up an interesting question of legislation. And we've been talking about that quite a bit with privacy. But this issue with debt collectors just calls attention to the fact that there needs to be a real movement towards comprehensive legislation on many aspects of social media. For instance, there was a law passed in 1978 that says that debt collectors cannot contact you to obtain information without telling you that they are obtaining this information for debt collection. But what is the protocol there if they are friending you? I mean, they are contacting you to be able to view your profile and maybe see what kind of assets you have, but there's gray area there as to whether that's contacting for debt collection or whether that's just making a connection. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be some legislation on this, I think.
I'm sure this is one more area that will be addressed there somehow, hopefully. Over on Netflix, I don't remember the name of the movie, but there's some great documentaries about debt and how much big companies make money off of your debt. And how they want you to get caught up in debt, because as you're paying all that interest, they're making money, but they've got to collect it. So when it comes time to collect, they go through amazing feats, cut corners, I don't know, do what would normally seem to be very, very questionable type practices in order to get you to pay, you know, even like contacting your friends. And so I can see, you know, some really gutsy collector out there writing on your wall, even, you know, because they want their money, and they will do anything to get it. So I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about that. That's a great story. And hey, while we're on here, before we go charging down the page, we want to like send out a big shout out to Aaron Prather over there with skatelifememphis.org. If you follow them on Facebook or Twitter, you know, they're doing great things here in Memphis. You can check them out at skatelifememphis.org.
He's been leaving us some great feedback about our podcasts and our meetups, and we hope that you'll do the same. We've got comments on the blogs. You can email me at ansley@lunaweb.com if you have a topic you'd like us to cover or a guest that you would like us to maybe invite to the show. We would love to take those comments.
Yeah, or come on out to the Twilight Camp tonight over at Davis Kid, and you might be able to meet Aaron there in the flesh.
I hope he will be there.
So, hey, you were telling me something earlier about this mobile app discovery, and it's kind of a new phrase. Explain what that means.
I just stumbled across it, really, and I'm not sure that it's coined yet, but I think it's a really nice way to put this idea of planning a trip or, you know, just even your evening out by, you know, saying, I'm going to meet up with some friends at this bar or this restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and then we're just going to pull out our mobile phones and see what's cool to do around where we are from there.
Yeah.
And so you're discovering things mobily, and I like this phrase that I read, mobile app discovery. And I just think that it's such a nice, succinct way to put that. You know, with all of these programs like Layer and Google Goggles and Foursquare even,
yeah,
that have tips and ratings on things that are around you based on your GPS location, more and more people are not going to, you know, think ahead as far as what they're going to do. They're just going to go somewhere to an area and pull out their phone and see what there is to do.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So when you abbreviate that, I guess the acronym on that would be MAD.
MAD.
MAD, mobile app discovery. You know, I got a little taste of mobile app discovery, a little spoonful of MAD, when I was up at South by Southwest. I found out myself at the end of the day, with regard to the sessions that I was interested in. Well, actually, it was on Twitter. There was a tweet there from from somebody up in Minnesota who I had not met, that they were over at this hamburger joint that I'd heard about, this hamburger joint. And evidently there's a few good ones along with taco places there in Austin. But he was there with a couple other folks. And so I tweeted him back, hey, I'll come join you. So when I did, then we went after that to this other after party for that wound up being for a conference that I ultimately went to up in Chicago here a few weeks ago. And met new people there, all from this whole haphazard kind of serendipitous, you know, no plans, but let's see what's going on through my mobile. Obviously, it works a lot better when more of the people around you are participating in this and also contributing little tidbits of information to it.
Absolutely. If you get on Foursquare and there's no one else on Foursquare in your area, then it takes some of the fun out of it when you can't see where your friends are and if nobody has written any tips about the locations around you. So,
yeah,
you know, definitely if you find yourself in a place that has a Foursquare location or Google Maps or something like that and it has a place to leave comments, I want to read them. So
yeah. Now, when these things go down, like Foursquare was down the other night, but if it was up, you would know. None of my friends would go to the on the border over there by the Wolf Chase Galleria. Completely miserable experience. But Foursquare was down. I could not share that with folks and warn my, you know, warn them, hey, stay away. But there's some clout there that goes along with this. Businesses are beginning to recognize that people are out there talking, broadcasting to their friends in large numbers. We were talking to somebody the other day, we won't mention their name, who was out to dinner with family, and they noticed that this particular establishment wasn't seating people of color. And so they got the manager over there and let them know that they would be sharing this information with all their Facebook and all their Twitter buddies, and I think had the count there with them. And somehow that seemed to really incentivize the management at this particular restaurant to get these folks seated, get them a table. So that's interesting. That was neat to hear.
I feel like there was a time where someone would have said, well, I'm going to tell all my Twitter followers about this, and people would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
And now you say, I'm going to tell all my Twitter followers, and I have 300 of them.
Sure.
And they go, oh, well, what can we do to help you?
Yeah. It's not right that that happens that way, but it's the way it
is.
Well,
I mean, but it's great for social media has this voice and this pull, the sway with people now.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates for a really interesting customer relationship dynamic.
It is lovely. It is a great aspect of social media. This is one of the things I really like about it, because you're not sitting there in blinders in a little cocoon having to put up with poor whatever unjust treatment, you know, for your dollar that you work hard for, and you have expectations, and it can affect them in larger numbers rather than just not getting your business back again.
Absolutely.
So I really like that, this whole voice of the customer type of thing.
Well, along with that mobile app discovery, I saw something today about Facebook Open Graph expanding into mobile. So along with those mobile applications like Foursquare and things like that, you'll see more integration of the like button for various things you can find on the mobile apps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even not just, you know, like this bar or like this restaurant or like this shopping area, but maybe even like certain things on the menu. That would be really neat.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. That would be, you know, this like button is now being served up billions of times a day. So yeah, we encourage that too. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's that little like button. Or you may see it in some places. Instead of saying like, it'll say recommend. It's actually an option. You can have your like button say like or recommend next to content that's out there.
But pretty soon we'll start seeing that button integrated into mobile applications, and that will be cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know, like, so menus, you know, if you know someday I know there's got to be some restaurants that are going to get out there, you know, maybe next year at this time, and instead of having paper menus, you're going to get like an iPad, a tablet type of a device, you know, and
send it right back to the cook,
you know. Oh yeah. See I'm the kind of guy, I would love that. It's like, if I need the waiter, I would like to press a button. I'm one of those kind of folks, like, you can ask me if I need anything too many times. That I get that. So too much service is not always a good thing. Yeah. So that would be great. So on your menu item, you could, you know, leave comments right there while you're there, on a tablet, or just go ahead and like it, you know, and recommend it. That's good. Yeah. Who knows? All kinds of neat things on the way.
Well, next in our news is a really short thing from Twitter. You can finally search for people in that little search box on the homepage.
Yeah.
You don't have to go up to find people anymore. You can just search right from the thing, and it's much more convenient, and I'm really glad about it.
And the debt collectors are doing it hot and heavy.
Probably. But I like it.
Oh, yeah? Damn. Have you used it
We're
already?
We're just tying this all in.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I searched Lady Gaga, and it not only brought up, you know, all of the tweets with, yeah, you know, that mention Lady Gaga, but up at the top, it only gives three name results, but then it's got a little, you know, more people, and it gives, like, the top three results right across the top under your compose box.
Okay.
So it's actually very convenient for finding people and not having to navigate to another page first.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
You know, I need to go see if Robert Plant's by chance out there on Twitter. We saw him last night right here in Memphis, Tennessee. He kicked off his tour here at the Orpheum. And it was kind of interesting as when the lights went out, that's when you can see all the mobile phones in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my wife, you know, we had some time there before that, so she downloaded the Zippo Lighter application to her iPhone, which there's not one for the Android yet. So, we were able to have a virtual lighter there in the concert.
That's wonderful. I enjoy that thoroughly.
But people were taking photos and video right there on their phones, and no doubt some of those people were sharing them with friends and this type of thing. There was a lady in front of me who was using an MP3 recorder application. So she's sitting here recording songs that, you know, Robert Plant flat out said, hey, these will be released in a couple of months on our new album coming out. So yeah, I think it's all a good thing. As long as people aren't, you know, selling the stuff, it actually winds up promoting them.
And I hope that artists can see it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that one of the side effects of the internet and of, you know, everything going digital has been that bands can no longer be these big showy operations. Like, you have to tour to make money, and you have to be good at touring, and you have to hit a lot of places in very few, like, very little time. And it's kind of gotten rid of these giant superstars. We still have some of them, but, like, for instance, Beyonce is kind of from that era where we still had those. But, like, you wouldn't have, like, the Backstreet Boys now, because mm-hmm. their tours were not real. Like, people aren't into that anymore. People want real music that's, you know, these bands are touring bands. Does this make any sense?
It does. It does. And I saw a recent Facebook update, didn't I? Was it yours that you got rid of some freebie something and went out and bought it instead?
I liked this band that I heard the other day so much. And mm-hmm. I don't pay for my music. And I liked them so much, mm-hmm. I felt compelled to delete the free music I had gotten from downloading it and buy their album off of iTunes.
Okay.
Yeah. I liked it so much.
I do both. I listen to free music, like on Pandora and, you know, other kinds of things. And I don't go through great lengths trying to get free music. But when I find something I like, you know, I like to go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then listen to it when I want to, instead of when it kind of just comes my way, you know, through the airwaves or the Pandora.
Well, I had it on MP3. Whatever. I just didn't pay for the MP3s.
Oh, no. Okay, we don't want to hear about that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. No. That's not good.
It's bad times.
So what's going on here with Windows 7 Mobile?
Well, Windows 7 Mobile is an operating system that is soon to be released that is to compete with the iPhone and Android. And so this is, I guess, Microsoft's next trial after Kin, which, you know, fell on its face. Of course, it wasn't really a smartphone, but this will be, you know, their Android comparable, iPhone comparable phones.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the neat features it's got Wi-Fi sync to your PC, and that Wi-Fi sync enables you, if you lose your phone, you can track it on a map, you can erase all the content in it, you can lock it, all from your PC that has been synced to your phone. And the whole idea, they're redoing Outlook 2010, they're putting everything in the cloud. And I guess they're trying to catch up to Google, who has been doing this all along. This has been Google's thing. Google, all about documents, all about calendars, all about contacts in the clouds.
Well, I'm gonna. Okay.
Email.
Let's
in the cloud.
Throw in Apple there, because I know that's why I'm sitting here squirming in my seat, because I know this sounds like a mobile me. A lot of what you just said, this new functionality in Mobile 7 is like Mobile Me, which has been around for a mm-hmm. while yet. And I know that
it is similar.
I know those Apple folks that, you know, that may be listening are going, hey, you know. Again, here we go, Microsoft copying Apple. It's a good idea, sure enough. And that same kind of thing is going on with social networks, too. It's like, hey, this is a great feature. Let's take that and embellish it a little bit more. And it's good. That's why competition can be a good thing.
I think, though, that Apple is not embracing the cloud as much as Google and Microsoft is trying mm-hmm. to. I think Apple is behind in a lot of these technologies. And social media, certainly, in, you know, just moving their databases onto the cloud. I mean, they're behind.
Yeah, so on the cloudy parts, sure, let's lay that out there. That's great. But on the being able to find your phone, being able to white slick it, you know, if you don't have it, that kind of thing, that's part of that mobile me. In fact, I know somebody who within 2 weeks of having an iPhone or having lost one iPhone and replacing it, got the mobile me the second time around, and within 2 weeks used it, and it paid for itself immediately because she was able to find her phone again and thought that perhaps it had been misplaced.
But then she had two iPhones?
No. I'm talking about the second phone.
Oh.
The first one's still out there, who knows where. It's in the place where your socks go.
She should stop losing her phone.
You know,
No offense to your friend.
Yes. So, somebody's going to come out with a phone with a leash on it.
Yeah.
You know, it would stay tethered to your wrist or something, you know, while there's still devices that are held in your hand and not something that's, you know, wired into your glasses or your contacts or whatever.
Right.
Coming soon. Okay, well, that's good. You know, and while we're on this whole thing about the Apple and the phones and whatnot, Apple's kind of having a little hard time right now with their new phone that's out there. They keep stepping on it.
Having a real hard time. Well, they don't keep stepping on it. They keep holding it wrong.
Right.
Apparently, yeah. The easiest fix for it is a $30 case, but Apple has shied away from, you know, handing these out en masse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I really couldn't tell you because, you know, I guess they're just flirting with this idea of a recall, which will cost them an estimated $900 million.
That's almost a billion.
Or I think I got the statistic, giving everyone a case would be $45 million. Like, everyone who has an iPhone would be $45 million, which is significantly less.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what kind of bets there are out there, but I'm going to guess they're not going to do anything. They're going to have that case. They're going to say, hold it like this. But the thing is, people are going to do that. They're like, oh, I love my iPhone. I love Apple. It's great. I will hold it differently just to make it work right.
This makes me want to link to that.
What?
There was a little animated video with a person going, why do you want an iPhone? Because it's an iPhone. But you know that it has poor reception and you have to deal with AT&T. I don't care. I just want an iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, that's the mentality that's in it now is, and my
Apple
iPhone
knows it.
Is better because mm-hmm. it's an iPhone.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
and I like it so much, I'm willing to put up with its imperfections just to have one. And I think that's what people do. And it's still valuable to them, and I think Apple's okay with it. And, you know, they'll, you know, in their next model, no doubt they'll do a better job, hopefully, of finding these, holding the phones before they release them. I don't know. I mean, how does something like that get into production?
Well, could do beta testing or, you know, pre-testing that they don't do because they don't want anyone to get a hold of the phone before
I would
it happens,
love,
but apparently that happens anyway.
I'd love to see that story about how, you know, maybe if somebody found that in testing and how it was glazed over and then it went to market. Because I used to be involved in product development type stuff before getting into the whole web industry. And it's funny how sometimes when it's your baby, when you're the engineer looking at it, you can dismiss certain things in a design that'll wind up creating a huge problem for you one way or another later on. So anyway, that's what's going on. That's the big news right there right now, the big rant. I was reading something on TechCrunch, which you can go to techcrunch.com. It's a great Mashable alternative. Since everybody else is reading Mashable, I've been spending more time on TechCrunch, you know.
They, go with the underdog.
Always. I am the underdog. I root for the underdog guy. But, you know, they were talking about how, you know, just a few weeks ago, Facebook privacy was the big thing and everybody was going to leave Facebook. And now it's, you know, now it's the iPhone and the possible recall, you know, up to $1 billion and stuff. And
Consumer Reports, you know, said they couldn't recommend it. Like,
it's the sky is falling, you know, shout of the day. So anyway, we'll see what's next. It's kind of like the oil spill. You don't hear much about that anymore. I mean, in fact, I was on Yahoo.com earlier today, and there was not a oil spill link in their little main section of the main news. There was
really? No.
You know, there was stuff about Obama and the guy, the fisherman who was in the most difficult catch, or what do you call that show?
It's the deadliest catch.
The captain, he passed away, you know. And so there's all these other things on around there, but yeah, nothing about the spill. So, you know, as the creatures that we are, society, you know, we tend to embrace and get on the soapboxes about these a cause, it's a certain thing, and everybody's kind of in mass, you know, really joining together, and it's just this terrible thing that we're all suffering, the blah blah blah, and you know, its effects, and then we kind of move on. People get tired of hearing about it, or or something. So anyway, there, this whole article was talking about how soon enough this whole Apple and the iPhone 4 thing, it'll blow away.
The world keeps turning. Yeah. More news will happen.
Yeah. So anyway, more news like, hey, Twilight Camp tonight over at Davis Kid. We've got, so far we've got a RSVP looking like another record crowd. Coming on out. We may have to figure out a little different way to set the tables because we want everybody to be participating in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, if you're going to make it out, hey, sure, go ahead, bring your iPads. Seems to be sometimes a little techie show and tell type of stuff with regards to apps and new things that are out there and help you find better ways to connect with the part of the world that you want to connect with.
Any and all mobile devices welcome, including the iPhone 4 that I have not had a chance to hold and test the glitch myself.
Oh,
so if anybody has one.
Right, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come show us the glitch.
We could videotape that. I mean there are a ton of videos on YouTube. It's so well documented.
Really?
You can just go to YouTube and type in, you know, iPhone glitch, and you'll see the little bars, the little reception bars just go like and go all the way down. They can recreate it just so easily. It's not like the Toyota recalls where, you know, anybody was having trouble proving that that's really what happened.
Right, right. This is a good, nice, repeatable failure, as we used in the engineering vernacular, you know, instead of being like a nebulous problem that are so difficult to diagnose and fix. Hey, while we're on that, I've been seeing a lot more folks do a lot more talking out there and not listening or commenting on other people's stuff in Twitter and Facebook here lately. I'll get online and I'll look at a screen full of tweets, and they're all just people just saying stuff. And even in my list, you know, so I'm seeing less and less of people actually having a conversation, and that's a real bummer to see that. It really is, because it seems like there's so much noise being put out there by people promoting themselves or promoting their businesses or these types of things, and it's really diluted the conversation to a point where I think a lot of people are just walking away from it and not out there having a conversation with each other. They're communicating, but they're not conversing. So think about that. Think about that a little bit. You know, just take a look at what's happening there and see if you think it's an issue and do something about it. You know? And anyway, so that's a small rant.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Twilight Camp tonight. Breakfast
hope to see you there.
August 4th with our special guest, Elizabeth Kaywine.
Yeah, she'll tell us some more about music and stuff, too.
Yep.
Yep. And looking forward to that. August 4th is what? Like two and a half weeks away?
It is in no time. It will be Christmas again before we know it.
Oh, no. Okay. Yep. So do we know who is going to be on here next week?
Andy Glover. We have Andy Glover coming next week.
Great. Okay. Look forward to having Andy Glover out here next week. We met Andy initially at a bar camp a while back, and then most recently at Tribe Camp. We saw Andy again, and then Twilight Camp. That's the most recent thing. But then we saw him over at Tribe Camp also, I believe. So look forward to seeing him. He's got a great blog. We'll put a link to it out there. He does a lot of good writing about events and just different kinds of challenges that he comes faces and conquers in his realm of IT. With his other group of professionals there. Really, really good, you know, good stuff. Look forward to having them.
Great. See you tonight, hopefully, at Twilight Camp.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.